Hey, it's Gunther and Hackett here on ESPN 700. Let's check in with General Manager for Real Salt Lake, Mr. Craig Weibel, good enough to join us. This segment brought to you by our friends at Proper Burger and Brewery, just off 657 South Main Street. Proper Burger and Brewery, Mr. Craig Weibel. How are you, sir? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on. It's always nice when you get invited back.
Well, we appreciate your insight, and we appreciate you inviting fans back three times in a row for home games. I know everyone's excited to see you guys take on the Houston Dynamo tomorrow night at 8 p.m., but correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are potentially one of the first games with replay. Isn't the video replay system changing pretty dramatically here?
Yeah, so tomorrow, well, this weekend, MLS across the board is introducing all the games, and it'll be – it's normal from now on. It's the way it works. So replay is going to be an interesting thing in soccer. There's really only four things that can be replayed, and that's every goal, violent conduct, maybe on or off the ball. Anytime there's a penalty kick, you know, they're trying to prevent the diving in and around the box and misguiding the referee. And then if a player gets misidentified, the referee gives a card to the wrong guy. So there's really only four things that are getting reviewed during the game. But it's definitely going to impact some games. We'll see some replays. You know, the hope is that we don't see any replays in our game because, I mean, you know, there's nothing controversial from the officials. But at the same time, there'll be some across the league at some point.
Isn't that kind of just a pipe dream to say there's not going to be any controversial call in a soccer game?
Yeah, because I said there's officials. So
exactly.
You're right.
That's exactly right. It's going to happen. So let me ask you, what are the consequences for a replay? So let's say that you go in, looks like there's a little something happening in the box. PK is called, and they determine after a replay that the offensive player actually was not tripped or kicked or anything. He absolutely took a dive, rolled around,
yeah,
and miraculously got up and was able to take the kick. What is the consequence for that player?
Well, the consequence for the player will largely be up because it's subjective to the official to, you know, when they go back to see if they actually dove or how theatrical it was. Was there any contact, some contact, no contact? Could come back and be reversed all the way from a penalty to no penalty and a yellow card issued for simulation, anything like that, you know. And in a lot of ways, this is going to help. And I'm excited for it because we don't want penalties called wrong. You know, the only time we like penalties called incorrectly are when they're beneficial. So, you know, we should probably play both sides of it. And I think the big thing that video replay is going to do is it's going to get rid of that little offside that was missed on a goal scored or violent conduct off the ball, which we all want to see eliminated. You know, violent conduct is really one of those things that, you know, without it, the game moves quicker, it's more dynamic, and obviously, you know, we avoid those needlessly violent moments in a match.
Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. against Houston at Rio Tinto, RSL.com for tickets, if you guys don't have any already. But do you guys as a team still feel like it's going to take 48 points to make the playoffs this year? Is that still the goal?
It's going to be darn close. The Western Conference is more dog-eat-dog this year than it's been recently. You know, there's a couple different ways that 45, 46 could get you in, but it all depends, you know, those Western Conference head-to-head matchups. This is a huge one. We're 8 behind Houston. You know, a win puts us 5 behind, and, you know, you're chipping away at every single team in the Western Conference at this point. So I do think 48 is probably a magic number that gets you in. I think it could drop one or two points from that. But we're at the point where, you know, we can't drop points at home. These have to be 3 points every time we take the field at home now. And the players know that. And, you know, you'll see that urgency in the group.
So now you have a little bit of experience with your new head coach and how he's acclimated, although you've known him from in the past, but acclimated with the team. And how much can you tell us about how that evolution has taken place? Are you happy with the way things are going? And do you think there's a pretty long-term bright future with the current crew in place?
I do think the future is bright. You know, anytime you make a change, especially in leadership, the head coach, you know, that's where your leadership starts with the group. It takes a long time to define that, you know, some longer than others. But I think Mike's done a really good job you know, implementing his personality on the group, building the trust within the group so that they'll execute the tactics that that Mike and the staff are putting forward. I think Mike's done a really good job in a really short amount of time of getting the buy-in from the group. As a front office, we still need to provide him with one or two talented players that can help him execute the way he wants to play. And, you know, that comes back to me. But I have to say, up to this point, I think it's gone very well. I think he's gotten young players involved very quickly. He's put them in positions to be successful, and that's something that's been extremely important in the short run.
So when you make a change at that critical position, and I know, like you said, from the outside, it looks like Mike's come in and done a fantastic job, but when you make a change at that position, at the point you did in the season, What is the expectation from your office? I mean, do you look at the season as, well, you know, we're just going to toss up our hands and let's see what happens? Or do you still have some sort of, hey, we're going to make the playoffs and we're going to do this and we're going to accomplish these goals?
The goals didn't change. You know, in terms of where we felt our team could be, we went into the season feeling like we certainly have the ability with this current roster to be a playoff team. Where we fall in those playoffs is more than likely realistically 3, 4, 5, 6. If everything goes well for us from the beginning of the year, probably 3, 4. You know, a little misfortune, all the injuries we've had, and you readjust that into the 5th, 6th spot. But you obviously never stop aiming a little bit higher. But the expectations didn't change at all for Mike. Didn't change for his staff. Didn't change for the players in any way, shape, or form from the front office. The expectation is that we perform well and we play attacking soccer and we're in position to win games. Unfortunately, the first half of the season, you know, we suffered so many injuries and there were so many international call-ups at every level that we're not in the position we want to be in right now. But we don't mentally reset the goals that we put forth at the beginning of the year until we have to. And right now that goal is to make the playoffs, and we're still in a position to do that. As rough of a start as we had, as difficult of a time we had in the middle, it is still realistic to believe that we have a very good chance if we string together 3 or 4 really good results.
I know fans are really hoping for that. Fans are excited, I'm sure, for tomorrow night's game. Again, 8 o'clock at Rio Tinto. If you guys need tickets, RSL.com right now to get them. This segment brought to you by our friends at Proper Burger and Brewery. Mr. Craig Weibel, General Manager for RSL. Craig, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.